Well, the independent inquiry into child sex abuse, which over several years has been looking into institutions and many aspects of abuse, historic and more recent, has now reported on the Church of England. It makes damning reading. It says the Church's failure to respond consistently to victims and survivors of abuse often added to their trauma. And it added that alleged perpetrators were often given more support than the victims. I spoke earlier to one of those victims, Gilo, who's now 60, but was groomed and raped by church clergy as a teenager.
There was no structures for dealing with this, so we were just pushed away, and certainly some bishops covered up my abuse. And the general sense was that you were just left dealing with it by yourself. And I had bipolar illness as a result. Today, I think, has been a really damning report for them. I don't think that they can get away from how embarrassing this is on every level. One of the key recommendations is that bishops should be removed from any safeguarding jurisdiction. That's really damning. That shows you how seriously the inquiry regards the failings of the Church of England.
That we can't trust bishops, basically, to deal with it.
Yeah, that the structure is so dysfunctional that we can't trust bishops, that they need to have a safeguarding officer above them who has jurisdiction.
Gilo, it obviously means a lot to you that this report has come out. What if I asked you to explain why it means so much to you? Because for many of us, I think it's kind of, we understood this had happened. This is not telling us anything at this point that I think we didn't know already, does it?
I think where it matters is the church now needs to make apology go hand in hand with real support, practical support, where lives are collapsing, economies are in crisis as a result of what we've been through, the re-abuse that we've been through by the church, by its bishops, its insurers, its lawyers, by every layer of the structure. The other thing is that senior figures, including Archbishop Welby, should seriously question themselves as to whether they should be resigning. In any other sphere of life, if you look at government departments, ministers, etc., you would see failure marked by resignation. And I think it's very clear from this report that the church has failed and has continued to fail despite being aware of its failing. It's having to deal with all of this very, very late in the day. They run a kind of procession of event apologies where, their apologies are crafted and put out in statements. But actually what they need to be doing is something much more real than that, which is truth and reconciliation between individual bishops and individual survivors for very real bad behaviour. And that's, I think, where a lot of survivors feel that these apology events are somewhat empty. Something more needs to happen. I think many of us are a little bit saddened that it wasn't one of the recommendations that we need to see mandatory reporting built into the statutory framework so that all reporting in future happens to the LADO and the police. And overnight, that would change all institutions where this regulated activities. There'd be culture change in a weekend. And everybody would just be so much safer, especially children.
How are you these days, Gilo? You said you endured bipolar depression for a very long time. Do you still feel you suffer from it? Have you moved on? Have you found solace in the fact that society has recognised the problem?
I mean, I live with bipolar and have done for pretty much all of my adult life, with all the attendant features that come with that, with a stop-start career, and no career. I've reached 60 with very little to show for it in my life. I'm proud of what I've achieved with others over the last few years. We published a book called Letters to a Broken Church and brought together a range of voices, survivors, lawyers, theologians, etc. And I'm proud of that. I think we've really made quite a difference. We've certainly put a lot of pressure on the church.
Gilo there, and the church did examine his claim. It agreed it was at fault and reached a financial settlement with him. Well, listening to that, the lead bishop of safeguarding for the Church of England, the Bishop of Huddersfield, Dr. Jonathan Gibbs, and thank you for joining us, Bishop. Perhaps the most damning thing, and we heard it there, is that bishops themselves can no longer be trusted to enforce and safeguard. There needs to be some other mechanism for making sure that cases are dealt with.
Evan, thank you very much, and huge thanks to Gilo for his courage, not only today, but being a hugely important part of holding the church to account. We need to recognise the full weight of the report's criticisms of the church, and indeed its criticisms of bishops. Bishops have a hugely important role along with their fellow clergy in terms of the life of the church and their concern for the well-being of children and vulnerable adults, but they are not safeguarding experts. So I wholeheartedly accept the recommendation that the oversight of safeguarding in the work should rest in the hands of safeguarding professionals. I myself have been involved in child protection in one way or another for a long time, but I recognise I'm not an expert. So I think that's a very sensible recommendation. We accept it wholeheartedly. And the question is how we're going to carry that through in the best possible way.
Does the fact that you have said that undermine the moral authority of bishops? Does it change the way we should view them and respect their moral judgment?
I think there are things in the report that challenge the way bishops have behaved in the past, but the reality is that this is a professional job and it needs professional people to oversee it. When you go to hospital, you want the surgeon to be qualified in the work that they are doing rather than somebody else. So I would see this as taking away oversight for safeguarding from bishops, because we're not qualified in that, but we have a hugely important role to play within the life of the church of helping to shape a new and more healthy culture that prevents abuse and that offers much more adequate support to victims and survivors.
I see what you're doing, because you're, in a way, you're painting the mistakes as those of people who were not trained in dealing with these complicated situations, who didn't have the skills and perhaps had been, you know, left unarmed in coping. But I wonder whether it wasn't just that they didn't have the skills, it's that they didn't have the moral judgment to work out where right and wrong was.
Oh, it's certainly not just about skills. Absolutely. And there is a huge responsibility for moral leadership on the part of the bishops. And we've seen the commitment of the two archbishops to that over the last few days. And we need to recognise that bishops and other clergy have been part of failing to see abuse. And indeed, at times, as Gilo has challenged us and as the report has challenged us, has been part of covering that up. And that's been to do with some of it's been to do with naivety. Some of it's been to do with clericalism and deference for authority. It is right now that the bishops are being challenged to offer true moral leadership on this. And that means working with professionals, but it also means working with victims and survivors of abuse to reshape the culture of the church.
Gilo drew the comparison between other areas of life where terrible things happen, public life in business or in politics, and where resignations would occur at the very, very top. Responsibility would be taken. What is your answer to him as to why the Archbishop of Canterbury doesn't resign?
Well, Archbishop Justin, along with Archbishop Stephen Cottrell, the new Archbishop of York, have expressed their complete commitment to working with this agenda for change in the life of the church. And that's been backed up and supported by the Archbishop's Council speaking last week. So what we need to do is to ensure that not only the two archbishops, but indeed all of the bishops exercise the kind of moral leadership that they need to do in order to bring about the kind of change that is so needed.
Would that argument fly in politics, do you think?
Well, there is an issue about ministerial accountability in government. I think that very much applies in the life of the church. The church, of course, has its processes for holding people to account. I think what you've heard from the archbishops, and certainly I feel it very personally myself, is that we have a huge responsibility to ensure that the challenges that have been meted out to us quite rightly in this report today are carried through in terms of real change in the life of the church and real change in the support and help that we offer to victims and survivors.
Bishop Gibbs, Jonathan Gibbs, thank you very much for talking to us.